I happen to know that one of your superpowers is making cocktails. So I'm going to ask David to hand me something because I actually, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I actually have a shaker and I'd like to hand you this shaker and ask you a question.
Please do.
If fee-free were a cocktail, what would it, what would its ingredients be?
Oh, okay. I love this.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Austin Hires Local podcast. My name is Tamara Atkinson. I serve as the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. And on this podcast, we bring leaders from around our community, sometimes around the state and country. And what we're doing is we're having on-the-record conversations about workforce development and industries that impact workforce development. Today, I am so honored to be joined by my special guest and friend, Stacy Armijo, who serves as the Chief Experience Officer of Amplify Credit Union right here in Austin. And on this podcast today, Stacy, I look forward to talking to you about several things. I look forward to talking to you about your journey from another industry, from communications, PR, into the financial industry, very unconventional. I look forward to talking to you about other types of advice that you have for people who are looking to make career changes. And finally, because of your bartending experience, I look forward to getting a new drink recipe from you that relates to the financial industry. Are you ready to join me?
I think it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. Let's do it. Well, Stacy, as you know, Workforce Solutions, we stand for supporting and connecting local people to local jobs. And a question I like to ask all of my guests is about your first job. So tell me about your first job and what did you learn from it?
So unofficially speaking, my first job was being a babysitter, of course, because I got paid a princely sum of $2 an hour. And I didn't even know what to do with all that money. And I somehow found a way. So certainly one of the first things I learned from that job was when you are suddenly responsible for someone else, the level of responsibility that you have feels and hangs differently in, I think, a good way, a formative way. Mm-hmm. The first job I actually got paid for by somebody who wasn't a friend of the family, so to speak, was as a counter girl at a Chinese fast food restaurant. I could not wait to start working. Perhaps it was the taste of my own money from babysitting.
Or the taste of Chinese food.
Maybe. Also that. It was delicious. I had to find a place I could walk to because I was 15 still. And okay. So, yeah, that you can work at that age in some capacities, but I couldn't drive and didn't have a car. And so it was the place that happened to be three blocks away from my house that I could walk to. And I ran the counter and I helped the customers and worked with the owners. And I learned two things from that experience. The people that I worked for were immigrants, and I watched how incredibly hard their family worked to provide for their two little girls. Their girls were in elementary school. And so I got to know their entire family because it was a family business. And that was really educational for me. I don't come from a background of any entrepreneurs. And so seeing a family that was sort of making their own way in their own business, that was super educational. I also learned how to find things to fill my time because it was not a terribly busy Chinese fast food restaurant. And so there was a lot of time where I could just be hanging out. And I really do not like to just be sitting and not doing anything, which is a trait I carry with me to this day and age. And some people who know me might have observed that in some capacity.
Maybe.
So I learned how to organize buckets of fortune cookies, and I learned how to clean the dining room.
Sort soy sauce, maybe?
Absolutely, I did. I totally, the orange and then the black colored sauces. And yes, nothing ever looked cleaner at that front counter than when I was there.
Well, they were lucky to have you. How long did that one last?
Until I turned 16. So the minute I turned
from 16 to 16.
Yes. So probably 6 months-ish around there. Okay. And then when I could kind of get a job anywhere, one might say, at least at that age, I became a checker at a grocery store.
Okay.
And I may or may not have had the fastest scan time, and I might still be proud of that today.
Well, it's good to have fallback skills.
Absolutely. So if it all goes wrong, I'm here for you. Self-checkout, I've got this.
Self-checkout?
So we all get to do self-checkout
like
now.
You can do self-checkout now for people.
I can go up to the self-checkout and be like, do you need some help? I got you.
That's good. That's good to know. Keep that in your back pocket in case this whole financial industry thing doesn't really work out.
We all need plans.
We all need backup plans. So let's talk about the financial industry. I referenced it. So that is your career now. You're, of course, the Chief Experience Officer at Amplify Credit Union. Mm-hmm. But you've kind of had an unconventional journey to get into the finance industry. If I'm not mistaken, that is not what you went to school for.
No, not at all.
So you're kind of, you're not the stereotypical financial executive. So can you talk a little bit about what your first career was and then what it was like to go from that career to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I started in my career as a public relations professional. In fact, I got a BS in PR. A Bachelor of Science in Public Relations, but that joke has never gotten old for me in all my years since having gotten that degree.
And look, I chuckled along with it. There you go.
You know, and I did.
You are full of a lot of BS. I mean, yes, of course you have BS in PR.
Naturally. I feel like I'm living up to my potential.
That's exactly right.
So I actually did a rare thing, which is to do the thing that I got a degree in. So many people don't. And so I actually worked in public relations for the first 17 years of my career. Mm-hmm. And I was with one firm. I started there in college, actually, and ended up having pretty much every role in the firm before 6 years ago, which is when I transitioned to the role I have now at Amplify Credit Union. And it was interesting because there was no career map anywhere that said, okay, here's where I stop being a marketing communications person and I become a banker. That is not at all how that happened. But it was, it's been telling to me how much my communication skills have actually been relevant in my role as a banker, because I spent all those years helping brands and organizations come up with messaging that resonates with an audience, communicating with employees in ways that are relevant and engaging. Managing crisis communications was one of the things I helped a lot of clients with. And what I found was I ended up getting pulled into strategic planning a lot. And I think the reason that happened is because when you are the person who has to communicate on behalf of an organization or advise them on how to do that, you unpack why they are doing the things that they're doing. So I spent a lot of time asking a lot of questions of, okay, here's this thing we're going to announce or this objective that you have or this situation that we are working in. Tell me why this is the decision that we're going to make. Tell mm-hmm. me who's affected mm-hmm. by that decision, et cetera. And what that draws you into is you discover when organizations have really great, sound, well thought out reasons for that. And then it also can become evident when those great, sound, well thought out reasons don't exist. Mm-hmm. And so you end up getting pulled into conversations of, oh, okay, well, how do we think it's going to affect this audience? If somebody were to say to you this objection or concern or situation, how would you respond? And so—
And all that came from your previous background.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's still what I do today. So now what I do today is way more focused around what is the unique value add that we have to bring to the financial services industry. Why in the world do we need another bank? We actually ask ourselves that question on a regular basis. We do. And we have three reasons that we have actually come up with and narrowed it into three particular reasons, because the universe doesn't need another bank if we're not going to contribute something different and unique to the options that are available and to the way that we do business. And so we feel like those answers to those questions are crucially important. And most of that came from my background as a communicator that was required to speak on behalf of other organizations. So interestingly, despite banking never having really been in any kind of intention for me, I really have come to love it. And yeah. I feel like my role as a communicator is useful in what is now more of an operational capacity.
Okay. I really appreciate you kind of mapping it out that way, and you make it sound so transferable, you know, the things that you learned and how they map to what you're doing now. But I've got to believe it hasn't always been sunshine and roses when it comes to moving from one industry to one that's very, I would think in PR, I would imagine there's some creativity, as you said, high emphasis on communication, I imagine more fluid. When I think of the financial industry, I think of compliance and standards and mm-hmm. security issues and things that have a different level of gravity. So I guess I'm wondering, like, what kind of challenges have you faced? And what do you think is applicable to anyone who might be watching this podcast who is considering making a career change from one industry to another? What were some of your fears and what were some of your challenges, and what advice might you have to someone?
You hit spot on the area of the business that was most intimidating to me, is mm-hmm. how I would characterize that. Mm-hmm. So in the role that I have now, one thing that we do is we have regulatory exams. So we have, you know, there are people who regulate the banking space and the credit union space, and they examine our organizations on a regular basis. And so they come in and they look at all different things, and then we have these interactions. And the first exam that I ever went through, I was very nervous.
This isn't
about
an
it.
Exam like a piece of paper and a pen.
That would be more fun. No, no, this is when they okay. come in and sit down next to you and they look at all your files and they ask you, why did you make this particular loan decision?
Oh,
do you
my.
Have that amount of documentation? What are your controls and your standard operating procedures? And knowing me, you can imagine how exciting I find things like standard operating procedures. Like,
so exciting.
So exciting. But all that has to be in place, right? So
100%.
Whether I find it exciting or not, it better be good, because this is about safety and security of the system.
Sure.
And so that was my first sort of experience to say, am I ready for this? Can I do this? I'm leading a team that is responsible for this, and I need this to go well. And I feel like it's an area I don't have as much expertise in. So the way that I managed that was, first and foremost, trust your team. So the role that I came into is that is surrounded by a lot of other people. So since I'm in a leadership position, I had the opportunity to just ask my team questions about, okay, they're asking these questions. What do you think that means? One of my favorite things to ask was, is this usual? I learned to ask that question on a regular basis.
That's a smart question. When you're learning a new industry, is this usual?
Yes. And what we found is more recent years, the new challenges are, you know, with people might be aware that interest rates have been high for a long time, that inflation, all those things that people might read about in the news. And so I've been asking questions of, okay, this is happening in our business. Is that usual? And the answer more lately has been, no, it's really not usual, because what we're experiencing is unusual market conditions. Mm-hmm. And so knowing the difference between, oh yes, this is a typical unusual thing that we would be navigating in this environment, or no, actually, this is not usual. And so that helps me know, okay, if it's usual, then I just need to make sure that the way that we're reacting to something is continuously improved in the way it always should be. Versus if we're facing unusual circumstances, that's where I get to stretch my creative muscles. So the fact that I don't have decades of experience in banking can sometimes be an asset in those particular situations. Because if what we've done for decades is applied in a situation where conditions have changed, not only won't it work, it could actually be a detriment. So thinking about the executive role surrounded by a team is one mm-hmm. thing, but
yeah.
when you are stepping into a new role as an individual contributor and it's an area you don't have a lot of experience in,
yeah.
that can feel intimidating in a different way. You know, it can feel like, oh gosh, I'm supposed to know this, and I have people around me who I feel like know this, and I feel intimidated by that. And what I prefer to think about is take your lack of experience and turn it into an abundance of curiosity.
I love that.
People do not get, they generally respond really well to you of saying, you have so much experience at this, can you teach me how to XYZ? Or mm-hmm. I noticed that you did that. Can you explain to me why you did that so I can know when I'm supposed to do that and when I'm not supposed to do that?
Really smart.
If you express it as respect and as a desire to learn, the vast majority of coworkers are going to go out of their way to help you. So I think as you think about transitioning, make that a strength instead of a liability.
I love that. So I'd like to repeat back what I think I've heard you say. So you were saying that what worked for you, and it sounds like applicable advice you would give to other people that are looking at a career change, industry change, is surround yourself with good team members and ask them, is this usual? Is this something we've seen before, can expect, to kind of get a sense of whether it's usual, unusual. Mm-hmm. And then I heard you say, have an abundance of curiosity. Just be willing to ask questions, be respectful, and try to learn. And I always say, play the new kid card.
Absolutely.
For as long as you can to really soak up other people's knowledge.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
So, Stacey, at Workforce Solutions, we support five key industry sectors. That's going to be IT tech, healthcare, advanced manufacturing, skilled trades, mobility, and infrastructure. So you'll notice the finance industry isn't on that list, but I also know that all these industries need people that have finance experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm presuming that you, finance industry, probably also hires yep. workers trained in those other fields. So talk to me about the kind of employee that you're seeing at Amplify Credit Union. What's an ideal candidate these days? And has that changed since COVID? Talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of skill sets, worker expectations.
It's changed a lot. Okay. So as I hear you talk about the industries you support, IT mm-hmm. is the first one that jumps to mind for me, only because banking is increasingly digital. Both okay. for the consumer, so the person who is doing the banking, as well as for the person who works for the institution. So whether or not you're trying to navigate your checking and savings account, or you are applying for a mortgage loan, or you're getting a car loan, whatever it is that you're doing, you are probably interacting with a piece of technology more so today than you did the last time that you did that. Hmm. Some cases, consumers are driving that. They want to be. In other cases, the institutions are driving that, because the ability to maintain a large physical presence and a bunch of paper, the way that banking was once done, it just doesn't match the economies of scale. So what is new for us is, even if you work in one of our branches, for example, so mm-hmm. the most common thing that you might envision of an employee for Amplify would be somebody that you would see at the teller line. Yeah, mm-hmm. that you walk in and you do something at the teller line. That person is interacting with technology constantly.
Okay.
And so the skills of being able to navigate our banking systems and helping somebody do that, maybe you work in our contact center, probably the most common thing you're helping somebody with is how to navigate our online banking app.
Oh, interesting.
So it's all of this crossover of all of these different skills. And increasingly, we want our employees to represent the customer base that we aim to support. So it's very important to us that Central Texas is a diverse area. And so mm-hmm. we've got members all over the Austin area and more broadly, really all over the state. So we have a field of membership where anybody who lives in the state of Texas can become a member of Amplify. And Texas is a very diverse state, both in terms of age and ethnicity and all of the different ways that you can be diverse. It's important to us that our employee base reflects that community, because you can better serve a community of people who are employees in your organization.
Yeah.
And so as I think about what Workforce Solutions is doing in terms of helping across all of those segments, that is equipping a workforce that says, oh, maybe this is a job that I feel equipped to do or that I'm capable of doing. Or at the very least, all of those other folks you mentioned, I'm thinking of people in the healthcare industry, for example, yeah. and others, they want to walk into or get on their phone or their computer to an institution that they feel like understands them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about an institution that understands them. I'd like to pivot to how Amplify Credit Union really sets itself apart from other institutions. You mentioned earlier, there's a lot of financial institutions. Mm-hmm. We know there's a choice of credit unions. And mm-hmm. yet over the last few years, you all have tried to differentiate yourself mm-hmm. by stepping out in something called fee-free. Maybe talk a little bit about what is fee-free and maybe link it over to Workforce Solutions and what we do. In other words, why would anyone watching this who cares about workforce, why would they be interested in what fee-free could mean to them or potentially their clients?
Absolutely. So fee-free for us means it is impossible for any depositor of any balance with any behavior to incur any kind of fee ever. at Amplify Credit Union.
Well, that's a lot of innies and evers.
And you know what's funny is I've learned we have to say it that way because people don't believe us.
They don't believe you,
And I blame our industry. So our industry has talked about free checking forever and always. You can't drive a mile on I-35 without seeing a billboard that claims free checking. But it is free so long as you maintain a balance that's high enough, so long as you don't do certain things that would incur certain fees. And here's why that's relevant. What we learned over the course of deciding to go fee-free is who pays bank fees. Spoiler alert, it is not the people with money.
Okay.
If you can maintain certain balances at any level in any institution, it's not hard to avoid fees.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't maintain those balances, or if you need access to certain services like overdraft protection, for example,
mm-hmm.
You are the one who is paying often hundreds of dollars in bank fees.
Wow.
And so we believe that's broken about the banking industry. So here's the dirty secret of how this works. People who don't have money are the ones who incur those kinds of bank fees, and they pay those fees to financial institutions. And the people who do have money, the people who maintain high balances, earn interest on those balances. So the fees paid by people without money generally go to pay the interest to people who have it.
I'd never thought of it that way.
It's regressive. I mean, when we first came up with this idea, it actually was just a marketing idea. So we were thinking, okay, what could really get somebody to move their checking and savings accounts? And you can offer one of two things. We did some research. This is what the research said. You can either deliver rewards or avoid fees.
Okay.
And we looked at these from a marketing perspective and for a variety of reasons didn't choose the rewards path. And we said, okay, well, but we think we can do something on the fees side. And our CEO, actually, in the meeting where the researchers were talking about this, just said, well, what if we just got rid of him? And we all kind of laughed. We thought he was joking. And I could not get it out of my head. And so then we went and looked and said, well, what if we did? And so then we dug really deeply into what are these fees and who pays them and how much do we get? It has become so ingrained in banking that we hadn't looked at it in a long time. Most institutions haven't. And that's when we discovered who pays the fees. And that's when it really transitioned from being a marketing tactic to a mission.
I love that. And so when you launched that in the community, I remember hearing about it, talking to you about it, talking to your CEO, learning about it. And then it was within some time after you launched it that Workforce Solutions and Amplify Credit Union really launched a partnership together. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about that. Why don't you talk a little bit about what our partnership involves?
I would love to. So Workforce Solutions was our pilot program for what we now call Amplify Collabs.
Okay.
So Amplify Collabs is the structure through which we partner with an organization to serve either its employees and or its clients. So in the case of Workforce Solutions, providing access to fee-free banking services. But more importantly, it's not so much just about access to banking services. It's about access to financial inclusion and opportunities around that. So it includes, for example, a dedicated community banker. So Workforce Solutions clients have opportunities to learn about financial inclusion. And we actually use the words financial inclusion instead of financial literacy.
Oh, that's nice.
We believe you cannot educate yourself out of systemic exclusion. So you can know as much as you want to know about banking, but if you don't have access to a traditional bank branch within any reasonable distance to you, or you get presented loan paperwork that shows a different interest rate for people that speak a different language, there's all kinds of things that can happen to people in the banking system. You can't educate yourself out of those sorts of things. So we prefer to think of it as financial inclusion, and it's really about creating a relationship for individuals with an individual in our institution who has a lived experience that is more likely to be similar to theirs, so that they don't have to call some 1-800 number somewhere and get some sort of inaccurate or untrustworthy information. And so it's really about, do I know the person that is associated with that? So that's really what Collabs is about, is each organization that we have a collaboration with has different objectives and goals. And so then we're able to tailor what we're doing with that organization to work toward financial inclusion and engage their individuals in financial services. It's a way for us to meet our mission. It's also a way for us to grow and an additional benefit for the organizations to provide.
I love that. Thank you. And thank you for your partnership. It's
Absolutely.
Been great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Stacy, when you were talking earlier in this podcast about jobs that you've had earlier, you didn't happen to mention a job that I happen to know that you have that helped you to develop special skills. And if I'm not mistaken, you learned to bartend.
I did.
By working at the Olive Garden. If I'm not mistaken. And so, so I understand you really got some great skills there. And from that, I happen to know that one of your superpowers is making cocktails. So I'm going to ask David to hand me something. Because I actually, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I actually have a shaker and I'd like to hand you this shaker and ask you a question.
Please do.
Because I know that you have this amazing background, having been a former bartender. And I also know that you like unconventional, unexpected pairings.
Yes.
So I'd like to ask you, if fee-free were a cocktail, what would it its ingredients be?
Oh, okay. I love this. The first thing it would be is fresh.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this is going to start with probably vodka, because vodka is sort of one of your most transitional and flexible spirits.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with vodka, and then I'm going to put a little bit of fresh juice on it. I'm probably going to put a little bit of grapefruit juice.
Okay.
Because it's got a little edge to it. Grapefruit has a little edge to it, and you might, I'm sure it won't surprise you to know some of the other financial institutions feel a little bitter about our fee-free positioning, and some people can feel like grapefruit juice is a little bit bitter. But then if you add just a little bit of Topo Chico, it brings some bubbles and effervescence to that interaction. And so bubbly and effervescent is how I would describe when people really start to believe us that it's fee-free. They start to say, oh, when they ask me a lot of questions like, oh, well, of course you have to pay for wire transfers, right? Or, oh, of course you have to pay for overdraft. And I say, no, it's really all free. They start to feel a little bit bubbly. So
effervescent.
Mm-hmm. If I were building this, I would shake together the neutral spirit with a little bit of bitter but fresh juice. And then I would shake and strain it into a coupe glass, mostly because that's just my favorite glass. It's it's the most flexible. Most of your drinks can go into a coupe glass. And I would pour that effervescent Topo Chico on top just when somebody gets to know about it. And then I would float a dehydrated grapefruit, because you always know what you're going to get based on the garnish on your drink.
All right. I love that. So folks, you have seen it and heard it here, the very first fee-free cocktail ever created. I look forward to getting to taste this fee-free cocktail.
It will happen in your future.
I think we can make that work. Thank you very much for that. So, Stacey, again, this is the Austin Hires Local podcast, and at Workforce Solutions, we like to promote hire local, but I like to ask my guests, what does hire local mean to you?
I think what that means to me is making sure that the opportunity that is Austin, Texas, and Central Texas more broadly is something that the people who live here in Austin have the opportunity to participate in. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting that we bring so much industry and job growth. And there's just, for a long time, there's been so much happening in Austin. And to me, hire local means making sure those who are going through our public school system, for example, and those who maybe their parents came here for a job and they've been raised here in Austin, and we want them to have an opportunity to participate, that hire local means we are threading that needle of making sure that all that job growth is something that benefits the people who already live in this region. And then as we continue to grow the region, that we do that with our population in mind.
So one last question for you about people who may be watching this podcast or working with people who they're trying to support in a hire local setting. As you think about hire local and what we're doing at Workforce Solutions and where Amplify is going over the next 5 years, let's say, draw a picture for us. What's the connection between what we're doing together around hire locals, and where you see the future of your industry going?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is the more people who earn higher wages and who live in the Austin area are more people who can bank with Amplify, who can get their mortgage loans through Amplify and their car loans. So just from a very direct and selfish perspective, the more prosperous our community is, the more prosperous the businesses in our community will be, Amplify included. One of the new things that we're focused on is commercial banking. So that's the new frontier of fee-free for us. So breaking news, just in the last 2 months, we are now the only provider of fee-free commercial banking services.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that means a business and all the banking services that a business would need, they can now get all of that fee-free. And wow. That is brand new.
Wow.
So as I think about making businesses in the area successful and the employees that you're training and the businesses that they're going into, the more prosperous those businesses are, the more prosperous Amplify can be. And the more prosperous Amplify is, the greater our social impact is. So mm-hmm. as a credit union, some people know this and some people don't, that we have a social impact purpose. So mm-hmm. we are a mission-driven, not-for-profit organization. And so the more successful we are as a business, the more we're giving back to the community. So I think it's all part of one big virtuous cycle, that the more that we can lift people up to earn the possible incomes that they can and to contribute to our economy, the more that that contributes to the businesses that can contribute to the employees. And it just, it's a cycle that we want to make stronger and stronger.
A virtuous cycle of continuing to build, uplift.
Absolutely.
And help others come after us as well, it exactly. sounds like. Well, Stacey Armijo, thank you so much for being my guest here today on the Austin Hires Local podcast. It is such a delight to be able to sit with you, and I am so grateful for the partnership we have with Amplify Credit Union. I'm appreciative of the knowledge you've shared, and I'm especially appreciative of the friendship that I share with you.
It is a delight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.